Let's catch up.
An NFL podcast with Taylor Bisciotti
and Sam Batesh,
where we talk about the biggest headlines in the NFL.
So, Taylor, you know what? Let's catch up.
It's been too long.
Yeah, we really should.
Blue Wire.
Taylor, wow, let's catch up. You had a big, ridiculous day, and then you came home even to see more ridiculousness. But please, can you just try to explain your Chargers to us, Taylor? You have a very nice inside look at that team, but
I know that Super Bowl prediction is looking a little weak right now.
That's all right. Long season.
Long season, right? That extra game is going to hopefully help them out. But the Patriots just have the Chargers number in every category, especially when it comes to Justin Herbert. Last year was their worst loss in franchise history. These are two of Justin Herbert's worst losses. They just have a way of just getting to him and rattling him. It's funny because usually when Justin Herbert gets himself into these like really close game, fourth quarter comeback predicaments, you never really worry about him. Like you're always thinking, okay, great. I'm so excited to see what he's going to do next. This was the first time I think I even tweeted it during the game. Like Justin Herbert looks rattled. He looks so frustrated because he is the engine of that offense. And the offensive line was not protecting him. And he just seemed like he was trying to get the ball off as quickly as he could. And he couldn't make anything happen. He looked frustrated, rattled, any adjective that you can put in there. It was not a good game for the Chargers. They actually started off strong. You know, they started off, their offense was moving the ball, and then they just hit a complete lull.
It didn't really make sense at all what happened after halftime. And Taylor, I don't know what happened in that locker room, you know, with what happened with New England, and clearly Belichick's got some answers on that.
I've got to think that they decided to start running the ball because the Chargers, I mean, exploit what the Chargers' weaknesses are. They're the last ranked run defense. And before halftime, they were not really running the ball that much. And finally, Bill Belichick comes out with halftime with his team, and immediately they start calling all these run plays, and they're just running all over the Chargers' last run defense.
And then you called it with Herbert, you know, this kryptonite. It was the worst game of his career, the last year, the 45-0, and then follows it up with the stinker today. But he gets the ball in that situation in the fourth quarter, and you and I are thinking the same thing. Here we go, Chargers game-winning drive. And instead, It's the play on the pick six, which felt so unlikely in the moment. But now when you look at the totality of those two games he's played against New England, Belichick, it's not quite the rookie quarterback thing because clearly Herbert's not a rookie anymore, but there's something there, right? He figured
there is something there.
Yeah, there must be, you know, like some players have a tell. There must be a tell that Herbert's got, and Belichick just knows it, and the rest of the league doesn't necessarily.
And I think a huge component of that falls on the fact that they really only have one running back, and that's Austin Eckler. And then there's a running back by committee back there, a pool of running backs that neither one of them have really done anything. And all week long, they were talking about how they need their RB2 to step up and, like, you know, separate themselves from that wolf pack of running backs. And Austin Eckler said the same thing. He's like, look, I came up as a special teams guy. I just take advantage of every opportunity I was getting, given. And so I need to see one of these guys kind of stand up, separate themselves, because I can't be the only running back in this room. And we thought we saw a glimpse of that when Justin Jackson ran for that 75-yard touchdown, and then he got injured. So you've got to wonder, are the Chargers going to go in before the trade deadline and try and trade for somebody? I don't know. But big picture here is we also need to give some credit to this Patriots team, who they're 4-4 now. They dug themselves out of a hole, basically. They've looked like a much more complete team than we've been giving them credit for. I mean, their defense has really been keeping up with every team that they've been playing. They played up to the Bucs. They almost beat the Bucs.
Sure. No, you're still right.
They might be the best team in the NFL. So
this was their first win against a non-rookie quarterback this season. So there was a bit of a wait and see exactly who they are, but this is a big win for them. And this is something that they can now take. I mean, for Mac Jones, this is another one to say that experience I am now better for. And I'm the one who said it after the Bucs game that there are no good losses. And I still stand by that, but maybe that was a glimpse of who they are. Well, Taylor, look, from that game, we have to talk about what happens later in the evening, because look, nobody has said more about Prescott anywhere perhaps than me and you. And in a game that looked like the Cowboys would certainly take a step back without Dak Prescott, I asked you to explain what happened with the Chargers. could you explain what's going on that Minnesota loses a game at home where they've got the Cowboys and Cooper Rush? And what?
Okay, I'm gonna rewind here for a second because I have been saying how complete of a team I feel like the Cowboys are since I saw them play, what was it, week two or week three in Los Angeles. They are the most like dynamic team I think that has come to LA to play the Chargers. They've got it all on offense. They've got Dak at quarterback. They've got a strong running game with Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. And then look at their receiving core. You really can't ask for that much more. And then we saw what their defense was able to do against the Chargers. This team looks so complete. And if there's any way to demonstrate this or illustrate this or put this on a, you know, platter, it was the fact that Cooper Rush, who is Cooper Rush exactly, went in there and played the game of his life. And it kind of shows that it isn't just a fluke that these Cowboys are that good.
No, Taylor, you're right. Now, so it was week two that you saw them pull out the 2017 win in LA in a game that we thought the Chargers sort of gave away. But again, that was the Cowboys going in there and stealing that game. And I would say what happened in Minnesota on Sunday night felt like stealing a win from the jaws of defeat, because the Cowboys also made stupid penalties to give the Minnesota great field position towards the end of that game as the fourth quarter's winding down. And then when it seems they're just going to ho-hum, kind of wilt away into the night, third and 11, Cooper Rush and Ezekiel Elliott come up with the play.
Yeah, that was like the Ezekiel Elliott deserves to be paid everything he's paid, just that play alone.
That changes everything. And then all of a sudden, Cooper Rush feels like, oh, maybe I can do this. And then he's hitting Amari Cooper in the back of the end zone like he's done it 50 times in his career.
On the run, by the way, for one of those huge big plays that he had. Just, so he put up some impressive.
And then, like you said, and then defensively, passes. And then look at what Minnesota is able to do with 50 seconds to go. Nothing, because Dallas is all over them defensively. So, yes. We had been pretty high on the Cowboys. I've obviously been very high on Dak. I had told you that the Cowboys are going to run away with the NFC East. I think the Cowboys are going to win 12 games. I just thought Sunday night, this game felt like theirs to lose. And it would have been acceptable to lose. Minnesota needed the game to keep pace with Green Bay. And Dallas is in there. And seemingly it's one of those where Dallas is going to have the NFC East handed to them. They don't need the game. And yet they go in there and show, no, we are the complete team here. Sorry, see you later. And in a game where they frankly weren't even at their best and obviously didn't have their best at quarterback and yet got everything they could ask for out of Cooper Rush. I will say one other thing, Taylor, and I want your opinion on this too. How about for the Bengals, who you obviously keep a close eye on? Mm-hmm. The way that division played out on Sunday with the Ravens on a bye, that division played out incredibly well for Baltimore, including something that happened in New York. We were just talking about what Cooper Rush did. I really couldn't believe what I was seeing today with Mike White throwing for 400 yards against the Bengals and coming back.
Mike White deserves a freaking trophy. But I will say, I think a part of that game was on a bad call. I think we all know which one I'm referencing, the, you know, targeting helmet to helmet or... Yeah. So, look, I'm not going to dwell on a call that ended up being positive for the Ravens because, obviously, I'm okay with it. But ultimately, I do think that was a call that almost swung which team was going to win. But no, not trying to take credit away from Mike White and what the Jets did. I don't think anybody saw that coming. So, I guess it just shows us that we still absolutely know nothing.
We know nothing. Each week we know nothing. We keep saying it. And look at the Titans. Look at the Jets. They've beaten the Titans and the Bengals. Good for them.
Okay, let's talk about the Titans really quickly. I cannot keep my eyes off of them right now. I feel like they are kind of like the silent horse because they didn't start off that strong. And now they're just destroying these teams one by one. And they're not just like pushover teams. We saw what they did last week, the week before. And then against the Colts, who are darn good. I mean, that was a game that I think everybody was, it was a coin toss as to who was going to win. Because they are kind of structured very similar.
And certainly in Indianapolis and the trajectory that Carson Wentz was on. I mean, Carson Wentz's last few games, 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He's coming into that game riding high. He looked as much like 2017 version of Carson Wentz as we've seen certainly since that moment. And yet...
And they both have the top two rushers, Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry.
Taylor's been unreal this season as well. And Indy was in position certainly early to win that game. And then late in a tie game... I've obviously got a soft spot for Carson Wentz and Frank Reich with what happened in 2017 in Philadelphia, but that is an inexcusable decision and play by Wentz from his own end zone with a minute and a half left. Game that, by the way, just check it out. Indy's going to miss the playoffs this season, Taylor. And we had made our predictions, and I had snuck Indy in there. I thought they were going to do something interesting this season. Indy's going to miss the playoffs.
It's still very early.
No. You know what they're going to point to? I'm sorry. You can't get swept in the division like that, because their path is likely going to be to win the division. They had
that's
shot.
A great point. You
know, if they're able to split with Tennessee, that's a major difference, a massive difference. And for Wentz, like I said, to have come in with his last games, 8 touchdowns and no interceptions, and then to throw one critical one at the end of the fourth quarter, and then of course in overtime, that is going to come back to be the game, the moment that Indy is saying, we were this close and it just didn't happen. All right, Taylor, before we go, just a quick breath. We've run through so much, but I know we have to say this, because Brady lost again, and the game against the Saints, It certainly brought us all back to last season, or at least last regular season.
What is it about Sean Payton and the Saints just having Tom Brady's number? I don't understand it. They beat them in both regulars, or in the regular season last year.
Yeah.
Of course, the Bucs beat them in the playoffs when it really mattered. But again, it's a game where you rarely see Tom Brady just not making big plays and not able to.
And by the way, look at the defense. Taylor, and then go back and look at the number. Brady actually had a really good game. He's again stuffing the stat sheet. Brady looks incredible out there. He's still throwing the ball all around the field. He's got touchdowns and yardage. He's by the way, look at all the major categories for quarterbacks right now. Tom Brady is at the top. And again on Sunday, in a game where he's going to be most remembered for throwing a pick six with the game on the line, he still had an incredible game yet again. But what is it about the Saints? And in a game again where the Saints lost their quarterback, Jameis Winston, and there they are.
That injury looked brutal. Honestly, I felt for him.
And the Saints, by the way, are completely in the NFC playoff picture. I mean, the NFC playoff picture, especially because of what happened with Minnesota on Sunday night, the Saints right now would actually be the sixth seed in the NFC based on what just happened there. I mean, who knew the Saints are 5-2 here? But Taylor, the question,
what did the Saints do now? Because if Jameis Winston's out with what looks to be, obviously this is not confirmed or we do not know this for sure, but if you're just looking off that injury, it looks to be a season-ending knee injury of some sort.
And that's
like knee, something's not, it did not look okay.
It didn't look good at all. And by the way, Brady 375 and 4 scores, just again, a tip of the hat, despite the pick six there at the end. But Taylor, you're right about the Saints. So if there's no Jameis, and by the way, you know, Taysom Hill didn't play again on Sunday, so we're not sure that that's the answer right there. Simeon certainly played well enough, but the Saints, with the trade deadline looming, feel like the kind of team, maybe Flacco, again, just give him another call. Hey, I know we just sent you to New York, but you went from Philly to New York, and then maybe now, maybe New Orleans, Flacco? I mean, someone else that obviously I think of.
That crossed my mind as well.
Maybe Foles, by the way. Foles is doing nothing in Chicago watching Justin Fields. That's another one. That would be a possibility. Your guy Trubisky is hanging out in Buffalo. I don't know. I mean, those are all certainly interesting. I don't know. I mean, I feel like New Orleans at 5-2 has a chance now to solidify that if they lose James.
Yeah, I can think about that one. Okay, well, I'm going to throw out a crazy one. Not saying it's going to happen, but he was asked it tonight on the NBC broadcast. What if Drew Brees came back?
You know what? Why are we even throwing any other names out there? You are just,
how fun would that
just,
be?
You know what? You just keep saying it. And
I'm going to manifest it.
Now just let that fall into existence. And by the way, how perfect, Taylor, because he doesn't have to endure training camp. This is what Favre always said, right? All the time, I just don't want to practice and go to training camp. So now Brees doesn't have to go to training camp, doesn't have to go through preseason, doesn't even have to go through 7 games now, and now gets to come in for a playoff push the rest of the way, and obviously knows the offense, knows the personnel, knows the coaching staff. Just hand it over to him. That's brilliant. And by the way, maybe they even let Jameis come back and take it over. Wouldn't that be great? Let Brees take it. Let Brees take it.
Yeah.
5 games. I mean, let's see.
I'm trying to keep them above water, keep them in the playoff picture. All that I'm going to say is that if this happens, which I would absolutely love it, please let it happen before Thanksgiving, because I'm covering the Saints-Bills game, and that would be so fun.
that look.
Just, we're going to manifest this, Sam.
You are. You're right. Taylor, you know, let's just keep saying it. You said it first. Let's just keep saying it. Breeze, 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 breeze. You know, this is that opening.